Jared, I kind of resonate with that leaving the phone in the back because some days are like that. I don't know how you feel, how your day's going. Maybe that line in that song, I came here with nothing, maybe you feel like that today, right? Well, and seriously, like maybe it took everything just to get here today. I just want to acknowledge that that can be true for us. Sometimes it's true for me too. This has been a crazy week or so. I've been really laboring and praying about this message today. And then in the context of that, it just seems like everything's going crazy, you know? My mom was in the hospital for a couple of days. You know, my wife was sick. I forgot to buy coffee. I woke up yesterday morning, there was no coffee, right? I got some friends who are carrying a heavy burden and spending some time with them. I had extra denominational meetings this week. And then somebody from my past showed up. I haven't seen him in a long time and was picked this week to say, let's reunite, you know? Okay, does it have to be this week, right? So anyway, just want to acknowledge that I think God wants us to lean in today. Even if you've come today and you feel like, I got nothing. I want you to be confident of the fact that God is at work in you. That God is given you everything. From a spiritual perspective, he's given you every spiritual blessing, everything that you need. And that's true not just for you individually, but for us corporately. And so we're going to talk today about vision. And as we do that, I just want you to do it with that thought in mind, that God has given you everything that you need. Okay? So when we talk about vision is usually a conversation about where you're headed, right? Where you are going. The direction you are hoping and believing and plan for in the future. Here's a metaphor I like to use for vision. Vision is looking out the windshield at the destination, at the horizon, right? So if you'll imagine today for a minute, this image of us being on a journey together, the journey of God's story among us and through us, it really is sort of like being on a gigantic road trip, but we are headed somewhere. And vision is about looking out the window at where we see we are headed, where we want to be. That's vision. So when you teach somebody to drive, where do you tell them to keep their eyes? Up. Yeah, you got to keep your eyes up, right? If you spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror or looking down or looking at the people next to you, you will not make it to your destination. Am I right? You are going to crash into that semi that's in front of you. So keep your eyes up in order to get where you're going. That's what vision is like. Now, your car also has a dashboard, right? Your car has a dashboard, and there's some pretty helpful things on the dashboard, like a gas gauge, check engine light, right? A few other things like that. And you have to look at those things. But if you look at them for too long, I promise you, you will not make it to your destination. If you don't look at them at all, you'll crash too, or you'll run out of gas. Your car won't have what it needs to make the journey. But today, as important as it can be to look at the dashboard, we're going to look out the windshield, because I think that's what's most important. Certainly as a church, we have some dashboard issues. You know, we've been talking to you for a few months, for instance, about our financial plan, how our giving is a little bit behind our plan. And we're going to talk about that stuff. That's super important. We're going to do that at our congregational meeting next week. I hope you'll come back for that. That stuff's super important. But today, we're going to do what's most important. We are going to look through the windshield so that we can see that where we are going. And to do that, I want you to think about this. Underneath every great, life-changing, culture-shifting movement is a single, really important idea, one all-encompassing truth that shapes the movement and is what is behind what we sometimes experience as culture or life-changing. And I was thinking about that because Herb Kelleher died last month. He's the co-founder of Southwest Airlines. Okay, any Southwest Airlines people out there? Yeah, okay, one, two. Southwest Airlines, did you know it's the third largest airline by number of passengers? That's what I learned reading about Herb. And also, they are the only major airline, get this, they are the only major airline since 1990 that has not gone out of business or bankrupt. Wow. So they did something different. And if you've ever flown in Southwest, you know that they have a kind of a unique approach to this industry, and they have shifted. They've impacted the entire aviation industry. And behind all of that they have done and accomplished is this single truth. This was Herb's motto. Travel should be simple and fun. Travel should be simple and fun for the employees and for the customers. And so that shapes what they do. And it's had this profound impact, and it's changed the whole aviation industry. Okay? At the beginning of the 1900s, Henry Ford had a similar great idea. Henry Ford, in the early 1900s, he stood and he looked around at the technology that surrounded him, that was just emerging, the automobile. And he had this great thought. This is Henry Ford's thing. He said, you know what? The average American worker should be able to afford a reliable automobile. That was it. So he invented a car. He designed a car. We call it the Model T. And he designed a process, the assembly line, that forever changed our culture. Can you get by without your car? Right? Our whole society is built around the idea of people having cars. And behind this one idea, this great culture-shifting idea, was that thing. One idea. Everybody ought to be able to afford a car. Okay? Starbucks. Right? They had this one great idea. Coffee should cost $5. Right? And take 3 minutes to order. I'll have double, grand, half, whatever. And they've shifted our culture, right? Think about it. Think about how much of your life revolves around a cup with a green logo on it. Or not your life, the people that you interact with. See? Well, the founder of the most amazing, the greatest culture-shifting movement in the history of the world, his name is Jesus. Everything that he did was undergirded by one great truth. And it was found in what he said, actually the very first words out of his mouth in the Gospels. The Gospel of Mark tells the story of the life and the message of Jesus. And the very first thing he says is the great truth underlying everything that Jesus was about. This is Mark 1:15. These are his first words. Ready? The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near. Or, as other translations put it, the kingdom of God is at hand. See, Jesus didn't speak these words in English. He spoke them in Aramaic. They were written down in Greek, and we translate them into English. So that's why we have different translations, in an attempt to get as close as we can to what Jesus was saying. And that's why I like this second one. The kingdom of God is at hand. So what that means is the kingdom of God, which is the way of God, the way God desires and plans and wants things to be, life with God at the top, with the love and the justice and the peace and the righteousness and the life that God wants intense. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, he says, is at hand. So when you are working at your desk and your calculator is at hand, what does that mean? When you are in your garage, at your workbench, and the tool that you need is at hand, what does it mean? It means it is so close that you can reach out and touch it. And that's what Jesus was saying. It was a great, amazing, revolutionary statement. And he said, listen, the gap between the way things are and the way God wants things to be, that gap has gotten so small that if you reached your hand out, you could touch it. Like, you know, in one of those science fiction shows where they reach their hand and it kind of goes through the wall, like into the next dimension? That's kind of what Jesus is saying. God is so close that if you reach out your hand, you could touch it. He's at hand. And that is an amazing and powerful and life-changing and wonderful truth. Later, he's going to tell these same people that the reason for this is because I'm here, right? I'm here. He's going to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father's in me, and I'm in the Father. And so with the coming of Jesus, something amazing happens, and that is that the kingdom of God comes near, so near, you can reach out and you can touch it. Now think about some things that you experienced for the first time, right? Like, for instance, I can remember I was 9 years old, I think, and it was a super hot day. My family was camping, and it was one of those days where we were pouring down with sweat. Everybody's super lethargic. Kids are cranky. Everybody's unhappy. And then my mom hands me this bright red, ice cold piece of fruit, watermelon. And I remember biting into that thing for the first time that I remember, and it was amazing. Or what about the day you discovered that they had cookies and they had ice cream and they put them together? You could get cookies and ice cream. Cookies and cream, right? What about true love? Do you remember that? Like, just imagine the way that Anne felt the first time I walked in the room. Her heart's like this. Pulse racing. And it's amazing. You remember the first time that you reached out in your heart to Jesus? Do you remember what it was like the first time that you reached out and you found that he was right there? And he's amazing. Because what you found out when you reached to him is that he's not like you thought. He's not angry with you. He's not mad at you. He's not stern or disappointed with you. Jesus shows us who God is and how he is toward us. He's completely loving and forgiving and giving. And he's delighted in you. Do you remember what it was like when you experienced that? You can experience that. Listen, if this is your first day ever in a church, I want you to know that you can reach out to God. He's right there. If you've been coming to church for 40 years and you say, it's never been that way for me, I want you to know it can be because he's right at hand. And that undergirds the great culture-shifting idea of what we hope for, where we're headed as a church, right? It's simply this: Jesus is awesome. And if you stay connected to him through prayer, through faith, through Christian community, what you find is that he can transform your life. He can. He can transform your addictions. He can transform your selfishness. He can transform your bitterness and your loneliness and your purposelessness. I had lunch with somebody this week who was just telling me the ways that Jesus has transformed his life. And it's always so amazing to hear that. That's what I've experienced. That's what a bunch of us in this room have experienced. That Jesus, when you get connected to him, when you reach out to him, he can transform your life. And so when we talk about vision, that's what we want. That's what we hope to see. That's what we intend to see. The transformational life that Jesus brings. He's awesome, and he transforms lives. And we want that, but not just for ourselves. We want that for everyone. So this one big truth of Jesus that underlies everything he did, that the kingdom of God is at hand, starts us on the road to the idea of our vision, right? The beginning point of our vision, which is that every person in North Orange County experience the amazing life that Jesus offers. This isn't just about us. It isn't even just about our church, right? We want everybody we have contact with to have the opportunity to have their life impacted and transformed by Jesus. Okay, I know some of you don't even live in North Orange County. So this applies to you. I know we have people following along, watching on Facebook who live all over the world. This applies to you. Wherever God has put you, that's what we want. We want everyone around you to experience the transforming life that Jesus offers. That's what our vision is about. All right, so what's the plan? How do you do that? How do you accomplish something like that? Well, the answer is found actually in the second amazing truth of Jesus. He's Jesus. He gets more than one amazing truth, okay? So, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus says these words. He actually says them to Peter. Peter was the leader of his ragtag group of followers. And one day he says to them, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, you got to understand when he said this. This is Matthew chapter 16. It's taken Peter 16 chapters of following Jesus around every day before he finally goes, oh my goodness, you're the Messiah. And the minute he says that, Jesus turns around and says to him, yeah, I am. And Peter, guess what? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So this is the plan. Jesus transforms people's lives. And then, and this is crazy, this doesn't seem like a good idea maybe to you and me, but he takes those people whose lives have been transformed and he puts them together. He joins them together in communities. The New Testament calls them bodies, families, family of God. We call them churches. And so Jesus does that because that is his plan to continue transforming the lives of people by putting them together in these Christian communities. And it's awesome. Okay, it's usually awesome. Right? I mean, it's not always awesome. And that's because we're all people who are still in this journey of transformation, right? And we're still learning things. And so sometimes we get grumpy, or we get selfish, or we get annoyed, or whatever it might be. And sometimes that makes life in our community difficult or stressful. But haven't you experienced how awesome it is? How awesome it is to have people whom God is using to shape your life. And if you haven't, let me encourage you, this is one of the great truths of God in your life, that he wants to use other people to shape you, and he wants to use you to shape others. That's why we gather. That's the reason. And so Jesus says, I will build my church. It's usually awesome. Sometimes it's not awesome. The reason it's not awesome, did you see the second part of this statement? Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, but they are sure going to try. No, seriously, right? The spiritual forces of darkness that want to tear down everything that God is doing in your life and in your community, they don't give up easily. And for instance, one of the gigantic strategies of the forces of evil to make a Christian community difficult is to magnify our problems with one another, right? We have little conflicts. We get in a little annoyance with somebody and the forces of darkness put a magnifying glass on it, right? And they and tell you, isn't that bad? Isn't it worse than you thought? And you start out being mildly annoyed with somebody and you end up going, I cannot live with this person. And so you sit on the other side of the church from them and you don't talk to them for 20 years. Right? That happens. That happens. Well, the good news is that Jesus actually said, don't worry, the gates of hell, even the very forces of evil in combat with God will not, cannot prevail against what he is building, which is the church. So, we commit together to a life together that allows Jesus to keep growing and transforming us. And it's amazing. Now, you look at the dashboard sometimes, and remember, this is a journey, but you look at the dashboard sometimes and you go, hey, look, the gas tank is getting empty. That's important. Or you look at the dashboard and you see the service light is on. That's important. You got to pull over and get the service you need, or you got to pull over and refill the tank. That's fine. But that is not ever the end of the journey. We get back on the road, we look out the windshield, where we're going, and we keep moving. Because Jesus has brought us together to keep growing us and transforming us. And we do a lot of things as a church, but there are some things that we do that are primary or they are essential to what it means to live out the life of a church. Around here, especially up on the floor of the office, we call this the loop. I don't know why we call it that, but we do. It's called the loop, and this is kind of what it looks like. And all it's meant to do is picture our understanding of what we do as a church. And so there are certain things corporately together that we think are essential. One of them is worship. We come together and we worship together because that is the way the people of God give glory together to God. And it is in this community that God then transforms and changes us. Did you know God wants to use your experience here in worship to shape your life? And he wants to use your experience in worship to help shape somebody else's life and faith. That's why you come. That's why we gather. Right? And in addition to worship, we have this thing we call growing, which is really about growing in community. And it relates to all of the ways together, in small groups or classes or in Bible studies, in Rooted, in our Sabbath retreats, and all the different things that we offer so that the community can grow deeper in their faith, become more mature in their faith. And that's part of it. We think it's essential that we all be on a path of growing in our relationship with God. And then we serve. We reach out to other people by serving them. Serving is a primary part of the Christian experience. Did you know that? Right? Jesus said, hey, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And so to be a follower of Jesus means taking on that primary identity as a servant, no matter how talented you feel you are, or untalented, or recognized, or unrecognized, or wealthy, or not wealthy, whatever your station in life, listen, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, it involves serving, because that's what Jesus did. So that's why we have so many wonderful and amazing opportunities to serve, and in turn, those things bless people, and it's amazing. Wednesday night, I had dinner with what's probably the most amazing group of volunteers in our church, or as Pastor Andy would say, they're the raddest people in our church. And they're the volunteers who work in our food pantry. Did you know that last year we served food, enough food out of our food pantry that it fed 15,000 people? You know, week after week, month after month. That's how many meals we gave out. Do you know that twice a week we have, that's worth clapping for. Did you know that twice a week, hungry people come here and we give them food? Did you know that between those times, we take food to people? We also, our food ministry has grown to such a degree that we give food to other groups and organizations. We help places like His House, which is a shelter. There's a new ministry in Placentia. There's Victory Outreach is just open there. And it's a transitional house for people coming out of jail and off of drugs. And we have so much food, we said, we'll feed you. You don't have to buy them food. We'll do it. Right? It's one of the primary ways that we serve people is by attacking the issue of hunger here in North Orange County. And listen, the people who do this, who give so much time, every day they're here. Every day they're here doing something. They just happen to be the, I don't know how to say this, the, well, they're the most mature people in our congregation, right? They're the people who ought to be playing golf or cribbage or taking it easy, and they've said, no, we're going to serve. I could tell that same story about so many people, about the people who volunteer with our students every week, with our children every week, who give of themselves to serve others. You can walk out on our patio and you can hear the laughter. You can feel the support of groups of people as they meet. If you follow along on social media, you'll see people post things about their groups and their classes and the support and the help that they get. I had another man tell me this week, at the end of the week, he said, who's experienced grief in his life. And he said, I don't know how people do that without Christian community. And he's right. He's right. So, an important part, an aspect of our vision is to do what Jesus said or to experience with what Jesus said, which is that Jesus will build our church into an unstoppable force for good. Because that's what he said he wants to do. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we believe in that. And he builds it by working through all of these things that we do together, the ways that we engage together to make our church strong. And this year we're working on a bunch of stuff. We're going to work on some new ways for people to get connected. It can be hard if you're new to a church to know how to get connected with the life of the church. We've got some great ideas, and we're going to do stuff like that. We're even talking about how we meet, when we meet, how many times we meet. What else could we do? When else could we meet? All in an effort to make the church strong so that we can grow towards what God wants us to be. And so I'm asking all of us to be thinking about this, to taking a step this year in your faith with God. It might be simply in worship, right? You might be a person who, for whom worship has become optional. And maybe you want to embrace the idea that God uses corporate worship in your life to transform you. Maybe make a commitment to coming. Maybe this is the year you say, I'm going to take a step towards community. Maybe this is the year that Rooted is for you. Or maybe you're going to gather some guys around a coffee table and you're going to pray together and you're going to open the Bible together and you're going to let God use that in your life. Maybe this is the year that you're going to serve. You're going to say, God, I'm going to understand how you've made me, the passions that you've given me, and I want to use them to help somebody else. And that's a step that you can take. Okay, so there's a third part, because if we stop here, we'll miss the whole thing that Jesus is about. And a lot of times we do this in church. We say, yeah, I get it. Jesus is close. He wants us to reach to him. When we do so, he'll change our lives. And then we say, we get that he puts us together in these amazing communities to keep transforming us. But there's a reason and a purpose for these communities, right? And it comes in the very third thing that Jesus says. First he said, I'm so close, you could reach out and touch me. Then he said, I'm going to build my church, right? And then he said this. In fact, these are the last words of Jesus that we have recorded in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Do you see that? I will build my church, Jesus says. He carries the burden. He carries the responsibility. He's at work doing things everywhere, all around us. Don't forget that. And then he says this, here's your job. You go. You go and you make disciples. The kingdom of God is at hand. I'll build my church. Go and make disciples. I'll build. You go. 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 You go and you help others reach out and experience the transforming life of Jesus. You help other people become followers. You help them experience the amazing community of the church. You help them experience the life-giving joy themselves of making disciples. It's how it works. Jesus intends every single one of his disciples to be a part of this process. Going and making disciples isn't for the few. It isn't for the super shiny Christians. It isn't for, heaven forbid, it's not just for the pastors. It's for everyone. Every follower of Jesus. And it's a tremendous joy. And you say, I don't know, it doesn't sound like a joy to me. I mean, I've been involved in some of this stuff, and it's weird and it's scary. Listen, sometimes this idea of making disciples gets weird and scary because we do it in ways that aren't consistent or aren't congruent with who we are. Do you know how Jesus wants to use you to make disciples? He wants to use your story, the story of what God is doing and has done in your life. He wants to use the gifts that he's given to you, the personality and the experiences and the temperament and the spiritual gifts. And he wants to use those to help somebody else find and follow Jesus. And that's the plan, right? That's the purpose. That's why we get together and do all of this church stuff. It's never just for us. It's always with others in mind, right? Beneath our vision is the statement of mission for our whole church, which is simply this. We're formed in Christ for the sake of others. We grow in our faith. We become more like Jesus for the sake of others so that it will make a difference to others. It's intended to fill us up and flow out of us so that others can experience the good news. So when people ask me, what's the plan for this church to grow? I always tell them the same thing. We will grow after we go. We will grow as we go. We will grow as God uses our story to impact the lives of others and they come to trust us and we bring them with us. That's the plan. And you say, I don't know, that sounds like a scary plan. I'm here to tell you it is. But what makes it unscary is to recognize that it's all of the church stuff. It's the worship and the growing in community and the serving that Jesus uses to shape us, to teach us, to mature us, to help us pour our lives out into the lives of others. It takes time. A year ago, last February, I committed to joining a gym, this particular gym, and I go at the same times, kind of the same group of people there all the time, and there's this one guy early on, shortly after I started, I was doing something that was hard for me, and it was one of those sort of I'm almost going to die moments, and this guy walks over to me and he says, what did he say? And I'm like, what? I'm dying here. And he says, well, it kind of looks like maybe you just met Jesus. What did he say? Okay. He was mocking me, right? And I'm like, all right, okay. So 8, 9 months go by, 10 months go by, and just last month this guy, same guy, he walks over to me and he says, hey, I've been reading Nietzsche, the philosopher. He said, God is dead. What do you think? What do I think? You know, it takes time to grow fruit through relationships. That is God's plan. It's always been his plan. And we're just looking for ways to help us all get better at it. That's what we're doing. Because really our vision is this, that every person, every single person in North Orange County would have an authentic relationship with a genuine believer in Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've noticed that that's going to mean we have to go. There's not room in here for all of North Orange County. So we're going to go. And we're going to let God use our stories and our gifts and our passions in their lives. And when we do that, Jesus is going to build his church. And the gates of hell can't stand against it. Amen? Let's pray. You know, as we just come before the Lord, before I close us in prayer, will you consider which of these things is most for you today? Maybe you need to reach out for Jesus. Maybe you just need to reach out. Maybe you just need to hold out your hand and say to him, this sounds good and I need it. Maybe you need to commit to linking arms in Christian community. Maybe you need to commit to go, to let God use your story and who you are to impact the life of somebody else. God, I am so grateful for this church, which has always, always made it a priority to reach out to other people. God, I wish we had time today to recount all the ways it's happening in our midst. God, we pray for more. More opportunities. More people. More impact. God, we feel sometimes like we've got nothing. And yet we recognize that you've given us everything. And so produce new wine from us. In Jesus' name, amen.